Hello, and welcome to Radio Education. This is a podcast from the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Avidiana Chapa. I'm a mother, a teacher, and your neighbor. Thank you for allowing me into your home once again. With us today is Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo. Hello, Dr. Murillo.
Hi, Adri. I'm glad to be back.
I missed
the last one. I had some things going on, and I wasn't in town. But I'm so happy to be back. I don't know if I'm loving the weather. It's crazy.
It is different, for sure.
I really enjoyed the rain because it forced me to slow down and sit down and read a book and watch some football. But we are here to talk about a very, very important topic.
Absolutely.
That is complicated.
Very.
But we have an expert with us.
Yes, we do.
Been here before.
Yes, we do. All right, so let's move on to our first section, happenings at our campuses. So can you share something about what's happening?
I think that you and I will be sharing what I learned about a special event that happened at Ortega Middle School last week.
Ooh.
Which was a whole celebration of students doing great on a whole day of rewarding good behavior. And I think you guys called it the OMS's incentive trip. Which I learned that a group of students went over to Adams State. They watched a movie.
Almost all of our students went.
So the principal, Nate Gonzalez, said that 425 out of 470 got a chance to attend. And in order for students to attend, they could not have more than two Fs or have been suspended.
All right.
So that is a great reward for students doing the right thing. I know I got a chance to swing by in the afternoon, and there was a lot of fun going on in the gym.
Oh, there was.
Lots of
things. Our student council is amazing, and so they had put together a pep rally with all kinds of contests between each of the grade levels and the teachers. But, you know, there was one that was just unfair. So in that obstacle course, you had to dive under a table. Not so hard when you're 11, 12, 13.
Or when you are 6'9".
Yeah, it was a little slower. We didn't win that one.
Well, I also got a video of our drum line. I just
missed
it.
Oh, weren't they awesome?
There. Yes, I loved
they
it.
They marched down the hall and, you know, of course, I love band. I love, you know, marching band, and just seeing them in their uniforms and, you know, seeing those kids grown up and drumming down the hall.
Yeah, well,
it was exciting.
I loved it. I feel like we can do better, really focusing on the right things that we got going on, which is a lot of stuff that we have going on that is going right and great kids. Because at times, you know, it takes so much energy to fix the things that need improvement. So it was great for me to see and get pictures and get videos.
Well, it was a fun day. So we're going to move on then to our favorite section, which is celebrate. So talk to us about it.
Yes. Like I said, today we're going to talk about school finance, which is a little bit complicated.
Very complicated.
So our guest today has been with us before. She was a guest when she first came on board. She's got the cool title of Chief Operations and Financial Officer. She is no stranger to Alamosa School District. She graduated from here. Her kids go here. She's got a sister and a mom that teach in our system. So happy to have with us Amanda Hensley.
Welcome, Amanda.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself again. I know some of you neighbors may have already met Amanda, but talk to us a little bit and so we can all get to know you a little bit more.
All right. Well, as mentioned, I am an Alamosa native. My husband and I both graduated from Alamosa High School, and I have three kids. My boys are both enrolled at AES, and my daughter will be once she's old enough. So we are a Mean Moose family through and through. I spent the first part of my career in public accounting as an auditor, and in my time there, I audited a lot of different types of businesses and government entities, but my favorite were always the school districts. When I saw the opportunity to join the school district, I felt like this was a great chance to come and be a part of the exciting things that Alamosa is doing.
All right. Well, our voters in Alamosa and around the United States are getting ready to cast their votes for several offices, including the President of the United States. But we're not going to talk about that except to encourage you to vote your choice. However, we do have a special vote that pertains to our district.
That's right, Adrienne. We have a bond issue up for a vote this time around, which is why we want to take some time today to discuss school budgets and school finance.
And who better to discuss that than our guest today? And, you know, just so that our neighbors know, it doesn't all come out of one account. Doesn't matter what you charge to that account. They are so picky, aren't
yes,
they?
Very. There are a lot of rules around school finance.
All right, Amanda, I must admit that when I became assistant superintendent, one of the steep learning curves was learning about the intricacies of school finance. I do feel that 4 years down the road, I'm with your help. You know, I'm getting a better grasp on the intricacies, but it's still not the easiest thing to comprehend. So I'll be asking some questions to break down as much as we can for our listeners. So let's get started. Let's start with, what is the total operating budget for a district?
Well, like Adri said, they are very picky. And so school finance has a lot of different pools of money depending on the program that they're intended to be used for. So we have the general fund, food services, student activities, capital reserve, and debt services. Our total operating budget for the general fund, which is where all of the main operations take place that are not in one of those other specific categories, is about $27 million for this school year.
All right. So okay. Much being said. So whoever's listening, you might have to pause, rewind, replay to get it all down. All right. So can you give us an idea of how much from that comes from the state and how much is a local contribution?
Of that, about $6 million is from local sources, which are property taxes. And the remaining $21 million is state revenue in the form of equalization or grants.
Okay. I know we're going to talk a little more about that later on, but let's talk about how our general budget is broken down, and specifically what percentage do we invest in our people through salaries and benefits?
In the last few years, we've really tried to increase teacher pay to help with recruiting and retention and help with overall quality of life. We know that teachers' jobs are so hard, and we have really tried to bridge that gap on compensation. And so about 86% of our general fund budget goes towards salaries and benefits for our staff. That's a huge, huge percent of our budget.
Yep.
The remaining 14% is utilities, professional services such as BOCES, supplies, trainings, and equipment, just all those other things that we have to do to stay afloat.
I'm sure we've all heard the saying of, you know, show me your budget and then I could see what you're all about. Focus Area 2 talks about recruitment and retention of staff. So if anyone wants to look at our budget, they could see what we're all about, which is continuing to grow our own, recruiting, retaining our staff. All right, so we're talking about this bond that we'll get to, but let's remind our neighbors about our needs as per the master's facilities plan, which we've talked about here before.
Some of the really big things that the master plan highlighted are related to health, safety, and security at the district buildings, as well as repairing and replacing some of our old outdated systems, such as plumbing and electrical. Our middle school was built in 1969, and even though we still call it the new high school, it was built in 1997, and it's coming up on 30 years old. So there are a lot of upgrades that we need to do to those buildings to get them up to date. Another big item is the construction of a new transportation building. Our current building was built in 1964, and there are just a lot of things that need to be done to that. And looking ahead, we could put money into it, or we have property that we feel like it's going to be in our best interest to just start from the ground up there.
And 1964.
Yeah.
And so our district was a different size.
Oh, absolutely. Or buses were a different size.
Right.
Then cars have gotten so much bigger. Some of our current buses don't even fit inside of that facility. And if some things, not that we're necessarily looking to go to electric buses tomorrow, but sometimes things come down from the state. And if the state were to tell us that we had to have electric buses, our current facility couldn't even house those. It gets too cold. It's not big enough. We don't have the proper electric for it. So we have a lot of work to do there.
And, you know, it is cold enough when we get in our own cars,
yes,
right? In the winter, in a big bus. You know, for those kids who are getting on that bus early in the morning.
Ooh. Absolutely. And then for our employees that work there, we don't have some of the equipment and the things that they need to be able to really work on our vehicles that we have and do proper maintenance on those.
Okay.
And one of the things that I'm always reminded is for a lot of our kids, the day starts and ends with transportation, with the bus driver, with the bus. So we got to ensure that we're doing the best that we can now to continue to provide those services for years and years to come.
Right.
All right. Let's also remind our neighbors of some of the things that we've already been able to do in the last few years by being really intentional with our money. How much was the project? And I'm talking about HVAC, which we're going to get into some of the things we've already done. But in your answer, Amanda, if you would tell us how much was the project in total and how much did we pay as a district?
So yeah, one of the really exciting things we were able to do was bring air conditioning into all of our buildings. Again, with the age of our buildings, you know, 30 years ago, 50 years ago, who would have thought we would need air conditioning in Alamosa?
Right.
But we had classrooms that were just so hot that it was not conducive to learning. Mm-hmm. And these poor kids were just roasting. And so this was an almost $10 million project, but we received two best grants that awarded us almost $7 million towards that. So the district only paid about $3 million out of that 10.
And what is significant about that is as we continue to be better and better and better, we will continue to seek for funding that doesn't necessarily have to come out of our pocket to continue to upgrade and upkeep our right. facilities.
Okay.
And the bond really puts us in a great position for that because yeah. right now, any best grant that we get, the bond money could be matching money towards that best grant. So a bond could really could go even further because of the potential for grants that we could get.
All right, Amanda, I get a chance to, you know, drive around some other areas of the state as I'm engaging in, you know, professional development and things I got to do for the district. And I know that there are a lot of communities, a lot of school districts that are going for bonds. Now, I also see this catchy tagline of no tax increase. And that just sounds so good to me. Now, I mean, I'm not an expert in school finance, but, you know, there's got to be a catch. So, you know, my question is, why can't we say that there will be a tax increase? And if you can just break that down.
So typically, if a district already has a bond in place, they try really hard to pass one in the year that would sunset so that there isn't a change and the taxpayers just continue to pay towards that debt. Our window for that would have been in last year's election. In December of 2023, we paid off our 15-year bond for the high school stadium. And so taxpayers saw a decrease of $26 per $100,000 of home value on their property taxes this year. So I know that taxes increased, so they may not have gone down in total, but for their portion related to Alamosa on a $300,000 house, which is the average home value, they would have seen a decrease of $78 related to what they're being taxed on behalf of the district. So that's how they market that is mm-hmm. to be able to say, no tax increase. Well, it's because they're already paying taxes for us. We yeah. paid off one and we're asking for another.
some might say no tax increase, but also no tax decrease.
Yes.
All right. So I'm a citizen of Alamosa. I am going to be voting yes on 5A. But now let's talk about this financial accountability, because we all want to know that the district will be good stewards of the money and that the district will actually do what the district said we were going to do. So if we get the support from the citizens of Alamosa, how would they know we are in fact using the money as we said we would? And how do we ensure good fiscal stewardship?
I think that's a very valid concern, and I can see where people would want to know. And so when you put together a ballot measure like this, it's pretty restrictive on what is in the ballot language is all that the money can be used for. So we can't add things to the list once the ballot language has been approved. So the things that are in that question are what we're going to be spending the money on. We also are going to be sure to update the community about all the projects that we complete as we complete them so that they know we're using the money in the way that we said we would.
The other thing is that our finances are public, right?
Right.
So we present a budget, which is public. We also present quarterly reports, which are public. And if anyone was interested in taking a closer look at our finances, I mean, I'm sure that could be done through a CORA request or
Absolutely.
Something like that.
Absolutely. I always encourage people to reach out. I'm open to any questions that people have.
Yeah. I mean, not that anyone would. I mean, why would anyone want to go through all that? But it's definitely an option. So there's so much to talk about school finance, and we can be here for another hour and just talk about this and talk about that. But I have, you know, one final question. I see the news and I see our governor talk about no more, you know, BS factor, the budget stabilization factor. And he also talks about this awesome tagline of schools being fully funded. Break that down for us. What is the BS factor? How does that affect Alamosa School District?
And are we really fully funded? I couldn't even finish that sentence.
The budget stabilization factor was basically the state's way of balancing their budget by saying, here's what schools are entitled to, but we don't actually have that money, so we're going to decrease it. So it was super exciting, and everyone was so happy to hear that the budget stabilization factor was being removed. But there are actually so many nuances that went with that. The school finance equation has a ton of different pieces to it. And even though they got rid of that, they also changed a lot of other inputs to move from multipliers to addition. And so that changed a lot of their way that things were actually calculated. And at the end of the day, even though that one portion got removed, the recovery of funds was still filtered out along the line through all of the different inputs. And so we did not see a huge increase in our per pupil funding the way that we were kind of led to believe, which was unfortunate.
Yeah, I've also heard, is it the Colorado Finance Project talk about, you know, with this change, schools are fully funded if we were in 1998. So that's what their, you know, their formulas and their measures say, that if we were 1998 for the cost of educating a student back then, the money that we received now would be adequate. We're in 2024, so right. Still quite a bit of waste.
The budget stabilization factor, I mean, that's an annual thing of what districts have lost. But over the time that that was inactive, I think Colorado schools lost like $11 billion. So even if they brought us back up to what funding should be today, what about those billions of dollars that we missed out on over the time that it was in place?
To clarify, I'm going to throw this question in. We cannot use our regular funding to build, to repair big repairs such as bathrooms. And
if this bond doesn't pass, that's kind of where we'll be forced into. And so our operating budget and the way school finance is designed really isn't intended to tackle big projects like that. But we'll be having to make some hard decisions and save every penny we can from the general fund to put into our capital reserve fund for these projects if the bond doesn't pass.
And that would not be a 1 year
savings,
you know, that would get us there.
Over 30, to complete $30 million worth of projects is going to take us several years. And at the rate that we'd be able to save from the general fund, it would just truly be piecemealing projects together. Yeah. It wouldn't be getting us into a really great place going forward like this bond money would do.
At this point, you know, OMS in the bathroom situation, all we'd be able to do is just keep repairing what we have instead of having a better facility.
Yeah, the true repairs and changes that need to happen.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And I wanted to make that clear.
Yeah.
In case people thought, well, why aren't you saving up? Well,
yeah. Well, when 86% of our budget is salaries and benefits, I mean, those other costs are utilities and things that I don't really have a lot of wiggle room for. So it's not like we are just dealing with this surplus of money that we're trying to spend down.
Right. Yeah.
It's also curriculum instruction, you know, at the other 14%. So
sure.
Yeah, there's not a lot of or any wiggle room. So although we wish we would get more money to save and do on our own, I mean, that's really not how they're designed. And
right.
Hence why we see so many communities asking their voters for bonds.
School finance really relies on the support of their communities.
And we're investing.
Absolutely.
In the students.
Yeah.
And they are a future.
A strong school is a strong community.
Right. Yeah. All right. Well, how's that for all the intricacies of school finance? Amanda, thank you for being with us today. And thanks for shedding some light on all of this. Because I think sometimes, a lot of times, you know, our community isn't totally aware of what the state demands from us and, you know, how we have to make miracles with what we have.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to move on to our last segment, upcoming events. So let's talk about what's going on this week.
Well, I have one event coming up, which is Wednesday, October 30th, which is when we're doing our Trunk or Treat.
Okay.
Which is led by our family center, our family engagement team. This will be happening at Zapata Park as well as at our family center from 4 to 7. I understand that there will be plenty of partners and just community partners, nonprofits who will have a trunk ready to give away some candy as well as some school supplies. And I just remember another one on the 29th of October, Dr. Jones and I will be doing salsa with the superintendents on Juanitos. So if people have any questions about anything, feel free to swing by and have some chips and salsa and talk to us.
Well, I know that at OMS, boys basketball practice just got started this week, and so they were excited to get started with that. All right, well, thank you for being with us today. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our district website. Parents, remember that educating your child is key to their future and a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.